I must conclude that your logic is a logic of seduction or a seductive logic? It is said that you hold a position towards the individual which is opposite that of Nietzsche. As he holds on to a radical individualism, you approach it from a civilian point of view. Have you ever realized that in these times the individual experiences of people are more bombarded to be incorporated into collective movements than ever before by that same concept of civility? Or should I not say that? What strange fight has been going on during the last century where individual bodies are concerned? What great fears and what tremendous disappropriation has the topic concealed? How much of historicism has been misapplied, or did historicism in fact exist at all? I do sympathize with your fear of collective movements and your criticism on what you call a planned economy, but do you really think Marx is responsible for all that? You give indeed great authority to scientists and philosophers, and more so to their prophetic words. I find it difficult to think of the historicist, as your description seems to be an abstraction of a group of individuals, which you treat in exactly the same way as you are opposing in one and the same breath. It seems to me that generalizations do not come into being by prediction of the future, but through the schemes by which the external world is classified. It is ironic that on the one hand you choose not to make a mug of what words mean, and on the other hand invent the individuals that make up the words. I think this is a dangerous operation, more dangerous than you realize. Neither is it a scientific way of looking at the social world. It is in fact as old as the church dogmas that blackmailed individuals with fear of all hell to come over them if they would ever listen to the fundamental needs of their individual bodies. I must conclude the method you call methodological individualism is devoid of any kind of individual experience, last action, which you propose it shows. Fragmented holism, like your model of the world as well as your model of the self, is no different from the holism that you attack in virtual historicism. Although your approach of falsification of hypothesis is quite convincing, it does not exceed the idea of correct individual performance within a scientific community. If the predisposition of this refutation gains its justification from the control and the reproduction of the context, it will still be just that, control and reproduction of the context. Lyotard did put his finger on the sore spot several times by explaining the seductive nature of such a scientific operation. It cannot be denied that there is a persuasive force in the idea that context control and domination are inherently better than their absence. The performativity criterion has its advantages. It excludes in principle adherence to the metaphysical discourse. It requires a renunciation of fables. It demands clear minds and cold wills. It replaces definition of essences with the calculation of interaction. It makes the players assume responsibility not only for their statement they propose, but also for the rules to which they submit those statements in order to render them acceptable. It seems, to say the least, strange to me that you first eliminate the source of a theory as something that does not matter, be it irrational or what, and then conclude that this source is not there, because you yourself has eliminated it. But for Goethe, we can be fairly sure that sources and origin could be searched for and still remain unknowable. He might have been an exception in the way he defined the general idea of origin, but a mystified origin to me will always seem better than a calculable system of performance. I happen to believe that the individual body perceptions cannot be dislocated from space and time. The difference between your view of the self and its linguistic evolution, in my view, of individual bodies as separate entities has little to do with animism, socialism, or rationalism. The system in which you operate science has been called to my attention by Steven Tyler as a system of circulating authority, rather than that of an open society. I believe that your rational epistemology ensures its self-preservation as a consequence of the fact that it cannot be sensed, and this sense is nonsense. However, I agree with both Steven Tyler and Lyotard that this process is the result of a scientific community, which has developed simultaneously with technocratic urge of our post-industrial society. For science itself, I still have hope. I still believe that we can replace consensus or non-sensus by differentiating abstraction and disconnecting it from the idea of a generalization. And according to Lyotard, it is a manner to acknowledge the homeomorphous nature of language games. It should be obvious by now that the models as adopted for the most pluriform perception in our reality, the individual body experience, can never be structured, neither the human actions connected with it. Only in exchanging form by substance, one can create the suggestion of a structural origin. There is a tremendous irony that Goethe's work painfully stakes out, which is that purification, individual bodies, increases as a result of metamorphosis, coincidence. If there is something of an essence, it exists because of its internal familiarity, sense agreement, and not because of its external descent, evolution. Such concept is quite different from the thought that the construction of an external form, consensus, could lead to the validity of an evolutionary stage, generalization. The irony is, of course, that science itself created evolutionary time as a model for metamorphosis, but it did so in an easy way out of being mere justification, not as a scientific result of experiments. The question remains whether there can be any consciousness of self within a rational system of consensus. It could also be as mere conjuncture matter that our self-consciousness is blurred by the efficiency of an external world, or, and constructed, as a product of an internalized formality. In such a case, it will be the dreams and children that possess reality, not science. You might feel happy to know that after all my dismantling of your models, that this question has been the subject matter of a letter I once wrote to Carl Gustav Jung. Now, you wrote in The Self and Its Brain. With the emergence of World 3, selection need no longer be violent. We can eliminate false theories by non-violent criticism. Non-violent cultural evolution is not just an utopian dream. It is rather a possible result of the emergence of the mind through natural selection. I'm very sorry, but I just don't think that a terror of the body would be so much better replaced by a terror of the mind. It is a seductive effort, nevertheless. Best wishes into the spiritual world.